Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Welcome aboard. This is the Wednesday, May 14th edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Maybe it should be where America always wins, where everybody always wins. I don't know. I mean, we're all winners. And if you're an American, you are too. Duke Brooks is my name. The number is 718-305-718. Room is open for business. Tonight, I thought we might talk a little bit about a couple of things that are going on in the world right now. Of course, neither one is particularly pleasant. One of them concerns the kidnapping of 200 Nigerian girls. I just don't get this. I don't get it. Why do we have no audio? Why is there no audio? Is that better? One, two, yes. All righty. Now we have audio. Not really sure why we didn't a moment ago, but anyway, I digress. This is the Wednesday, May 14th, 2014 edition of Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here. The number, as always, is 718-305-7176. The chat room is very much open for business, and I'm very, very glad that you could be along tonight. I thought that we would talk about a couple of things that are going on in the world, and as usual, things going on in the world recently, they are not too pleasant. And I really should have, I'm sorry about that. I should have turned off my cell phone. That is a fellow whose name is Tony Matero calling me. And Linda knows exactly who he is. And maybe Linda would, when she gets a chance, would give him a call and let him know that I'm on the air right now. That would be great. Maybe I'll fill you in on who Tony Matero is at some point in the not-too-distant future. I don't know. You know, Linda and I are both very, very heavily involved in the local Delaware Republican Committee, of which we are both members. And Linda, being enormously bright, has ascended to the position of secretary of the committee. And yours truly, as you would know if you listen to ConservativeNationMedia.com on Blog Talk Radio. I am the communication director for the committee. We're not going to talk about that tonight, but Tony is a good guy. He's a Marine, ex-Marine, from the Korean War era. He's an older gent. And he also has a leadership position in the committee, but that's, you know, that's not really what we're here to talk about. How about the kidnapping of those Nigerian girls? You know, I just can't believe this. This is from The Guardian, which is a profoundly left-wing publisher. This was updated about 4 hours ago. This is by David Smith, who is in Abuja, Nigeria. That is the political capital of Nigeria, and I believe Lagos is the commercial capital of Nigeria. Almost as one I suppose might say Washington D.C. is the political capital of the U.S. New York City is the commercial capital, something like that. You know, this is by David Smith in Abuja. And somebody named Harriet Sherwood, no relation. The Nigerian government has confirmed that a military operation has been launched with international backing to locate and rescue more than 200 girls who had been held captive for a month. The government also signaled that it is ready to negotiate with Boko Haram, the Islamist militant group that snatched the girls from a school in Chibok in the northeast of the country, although it appeared to rule out any prisoner exchange. Quote, international operations have commenced in collaboration with the Nigerian military. The operations are being carried out in conjunction with Nigerian troops, unquote, Mike O'Meary, coordinator of the National Information Center, told a press conference. Quote, surveillance? Yes. Intelligence? Yes. And knowledge and experience sharing will be applied, unquote, he added. He declined to give further details. As international assistance to the search and rescue efforts intensified, Mark Simmons, Britain's Minister for Africa, held talks with Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan in the capital, Abuja. Jonathan, quote, made it very clear that there will be no negotiation with Boko Haram that involves a swap of abducted schoolgirls for prisoners, unquote, Simmons said. But Nigeria's government will talk to the militants to seek reconciliation, Simmons added. Meanwhile, quote, the point that also was made very clear to me is that the president was keen to continue and facilitate ongoing dialogue to find a structure and architecture of delivering lasting solution to the conflict and the cause of conflict in northern Nigeria, unquote. David Cameron, he is the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, told Parliament on Wednesday that Britain had offered to step up its assistance by sending surveillance aircraft and a military team, a UK team of military advisors and family liaison officers led by Brigadier Ivan Jones has been in Abuja since Friday. The Prime Minister told members of Parliament, quote, I can announce we have offered Nigeria further assistance in terms of surveillance aircraft, a military team to embed with the Nigerian Army in their HQ, and a team to work with U.S. experts to analyze information on the girls' location, unquote. The abduction of the girls was, Cameron said, quote, an act of pure evil, adding, quote, the world is coming together, not just to condemn it, but to do everything we can to help the Nigerians find these young girls, unquote. Canada became the latest country to disclose that it has sent special forces to Nigeria, joining teams from the U.S., U.K., France, and Israel. The Canadian Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, said his country's forces would not engage in combat, but were, quote, to provide liaison and to assist Nigerian authorities in their search, unquote. In Abuja, about 200 people wearing red hashtag Bring Back Our Girls t-shirts gathered for a vigil marking 30 days since the girls' abduction. Among the speakers was Pastor Enoch Mark of Chibok. Quote, I lost my two daughters, he told the audience. Today is 30 days. I have not been sleeping well. There is no night from the 14th of April when I can sleep more than 3 hours. I am not eating well, but seeing you this evening, you give me hope and you give me courage, unquote. All right, it should be obvious by now that, in case you don't know, the deal with the kidnapping is that the people doing the kidnapping, Boko Haram, they are Mohammedans, and I would observe that I guess I really kind of thought after A Whiter Shade of Pale, Conquistador, that Boko Haram would have so much money that they wouldn't have to go around kidnapping young girls and selling them for $12 a piece, which is what they're doing. But I suppose, who knows? Oh, that's not the... Oh, that's not Procol Harum, the Canadian rock band from the 1970s? Okay. You know, I've been wrong before. I'll be wrong again. In any event, Boko Haram apparently is some Nigerian native language or Mohammedan language or something, which means that Western education must be banned. This is what they're all about. And I think that everyone really needs to understand that the Mohammedan culture is all about the destruction of every other culture and religion in the world. They are not to Western life and Western values and Western civilization the way the Presbyterians are to the Catholic Church. It's not like that, okay? The Presbyterians don't want to kill anybody in the name of Christianity and in the name of Presbyteria. They don't want to do that. The Catholic Church, I can't speak for the Catholic Church, but I am Catholic. I don't mind telling you that. The Catholic Church does not want to kill anybody in Catholicism. The Catholic Church wants people to stop killing people for whatever reason. Their positions on things like abortion and capital punishment for at least the last century has been absolutely consistent and has been, in the words of a rabbi with whom I once spoke, unimpeachable. We at Conservative Nation Media are now fully optimized for smartphones like the Android, the iPhone, other ones. That means you can download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. The same great shows, the same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone, conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. It's about 13 minutes after the top of the first hour of this edition, the May 14th, 2014 edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. And, you know, I actually have a smartphone now. Isn't that amazing? What'd you think, huh? Pretty cool, eh? I actually have a smartphone. I'm not very smart, so it took, 3 months for me to figure out how to get it to even answer a call. And, if you forget things, you forget things. What can I tell you? But it is a complicated thing, and I did try downloading. You simply go to the browser on your smartphone, make sure that your internet feature is enabled. It's very important. And you just go to conservativenationmedia.com. There is an option there to click for the smartphone version. And once you do that, you can do anything that you want to, anything that you would normally do on your computer at home or your laptop or your tablet, or whatever it is, whatever is the latest thing. Next is going to be a complete computer, no larger than a postage stamp. The UI, the user interface, will be very, very small. Obviously, that seems to be the problem with computers, is that the method that the user uses to communicate with the computer, either to the computer or from the computer, that has to be a certain size. You can only have a functioning keyboard of a certain size, and if it gets smaller than that, you're kind of out of luck. But in any event, we will speak in a moment. I'm going to take a quick break now about the Mohammedan terror group Boko Haram kidnapping girls in Nigeria. It's been a month now. Very, very bad. And anyway, your calls are coming up. 718-305-7176 is the number here. And we will be right back after this, so don't go away.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
I'm in the car next to you on the highway, heading to work. I sit in front of you on the bus. I work in the office down the hall and stand next to you in the elevator. We've known each other for years, and I've told you a lot about my life. But of all the things you know about me, here's one you don't. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an incurable disease. It's not an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. This problem is closer than you think. Fortunately, so is the solution. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You've got to try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hello, I am Robert Garding of the New Wives Conservatism radio show, heard on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 Central, through conservativenationmedia.com. Being on the air since 2007 from behind the silver CNN microphone of freedom, we've helped people become more informed to keep socialists out of the White House and Congress. But that work isn't over yet. Tune in Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on CNN for the New Wives Conservatism radio show, the voice of reason in our unreasonable world.
You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. This is the Wednesday, May 14th, 2014 edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. I am your friendly local pilot in command and GOP committee spokesman, Duke Brooks, speaking to you from Lewis, Delaware, the first town in the first state. They spell it L-E-W-E-S. Some people who are not familiar with it will look at the map and say, oh, you must live in Lewis. Well, no, it's Lewis. Oh, L-E-W-I-S? No, L-E-W... Who knows? You know, I spent almost all my teenage years in a town in Pennsylvania called King of Prussia. And that town has been called King of Prussia since the beginning of the 19th century. You know, it's right near Valley Forge. It was actually a very, very good place to grow up after I moved out of New York. Anyway, we have been talking about the kidnapping of the Nigerian girls. Very unbelievable. This is something from the BBC. This was a couple of days ago. And BBC Africa News from May 12th, which was Monday. Let's see here. Islamist militants Boko Haram have released a video apparently showing about 130 girls kidnapped from a school in northern Nigeria on the 14th of April. Boko Haram leader Abu Bakar Shekau said the children would be held until all imprisoned militants had been freed. Interior Minister Abba Moro rejected the deal, telling the BBC that it was, quote, absurd for a terrorist group, unquote, to try to set conditions. Boko Haram abducted more than 200 girls and threatened to sell them. The BBC's John Simpson in the northern city of Maiduguri says Boko Haram's comments show signs that the group is willing to negotiate. Three of the girls, wearing full-length cloaks, are shown speaking in the 27-minute video obtained by the French news agency AFP, that's Agence France-Presse. Two girls say they were Christian and have converted to Islam, while the other says she is a Muslim. Quote, these girls you occupy yourselves with, we have indeed liberated them. These girls have become Muslims, Abu Bakar Shakal says in the video. He said his offer to swap the girls for imprisoned militants only referred to the children who had not converted to Islam. It is thought the majority of the abducted girls are Christians, although there are a number of Muslims among them. A man who is related to three of the abducted girls said the video at first gave him hope, but then made him anxious and tearful. Quote, maybe they aren't converted into another religion by force, so it truly is a kind of terrifying situation, unquote, said the man, who did not want to be named. Some 136 girls are shown in the video. Just under half of the 276 pupils abducted from their school in the northern state of Borno. Well, you know, facts are facts, and the facts as I see them are these, and you are more than welcome to share this, your view, with me at 718-305-7176. The kidnappers, the terrorists, the Mohammedan criminals have been trying to militarily take over Nigeria and virtually every other African state for quite a long time, because this is what their religion is all about. It is not, I repeat, it is not about peaceful coexistence. The central defining theory, philosophy, identity, culture of their religion going back literally to about the 7th century is that no other religion has the right to exist. Members of other religious faiths must be given the opportunity to either convert to their religion or face death. That's what we're dealing with. Much like the communists who believed that they had a duty and an obligation to lead the world and lead mankind to a state of Marxist communism, the Mohammedans believe that they have a divine right and a duty to lead the world to their religion, and they do not tolerate resistance to it. It's kind of like, in a way, it's sort of the difference between the Western world and the Eastern world, the way peace, the way human rights is defined. In the Western world, human rights are political. In the Eastern world, they are economic. In the Western world, the definition of peace is the absence of armed conflict. In the Eastern world, it is the absence of resistance. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. We have been talking about the Nigerian kidnapping. One of the interesting things is that very rarely in news stories about this does one see the fact that the people are being identified, the kidnappers being identified by their religion, almost as if there are left-wing forces in this country and elsewhere that simply want to kind of cover that up. The only reason why they would want to do that is to make it easier for the Mohammedans to do what they want to do, okay? This is from Fox News. This hit the internet about 3 hours ago. American drones were scouring a region the size of West Virginia in northern Nigeria for nearly 300 Christian schoolgirls kidnapped a month ago by a maniacal Islamic warlord, but the effort faced a potential roadblock in a rarely invoked U.S. law that bars the military from helping certain governments. The U.S. effort comes as pressure mounts for military action to hunt down the jihadist terror group Boko Haram and its leader Abu Bakar Shekau. They are accused of snatching more than the 300 girls who Shekau vowed in a chilling video to sell into slavery. Some 50 later escaped, but the group is believed to be holding at least 276. Quote, "If they knew where they were, I certainly would send in U.S. troops to rescue them. In a New York minute, I would, without permission of the host country," unquote, Senator John McCain, Arizona Republican, told the Daily Beast. But a senior State Department official said the girls have not been located and that a 1997 law known as the Leahy Amendment is complicating the joint effort with Nigerian forces. The law, named for its sponsor, Senator Pat Leahy, a Democrat from Vermont, bars U.S. forces from working with militaries or units within them accused of chronic human rights violations. In the past, U.S. military brass have complained the law has prevented them from training foreign soldiers in Nigeria. It appears to be limiting what forces on the ground can do to help find the children. This is, you know, look, every law and every governmental action, governmental policy of that type, of any type really, comes with what are known as unintended consequences. Now, I met Pat Leahy on the night of July 11th, 1995. I was out having a very nice dinner with my former girlfriend, Wendy, and I had planned to, I had gotten up during this dinner to go to the payphone because not very many people had cell phones in those days. But I went to the payphone to call the FAA and see what the weather was going to be like the next morning because I had a traffic reporting helicopter mission to fly on WTOP and et cetera, et cetera. So I'm standing at this payphone in Ruth's Chris in Washington, and I'm talking to the briefer, and Senator Pat Leahy rushes up to the payphone, and he looks up at me, and he realizes that somebody is on the payphone, and he gets this look on his face like, "Who are you, and what are you doing on my payphone?" And at the same time, he had a cellular phone in each hand. One of them was that, you know, kind of large, clunky one that you see that's used as a punchline or a joke in certain, you know, TV shows now, that sort of thing. There he was. And this was must have been around 9 o'clock at night. And, I remember thinking to myself, what on earth, in the middle of the summer, when the Congress is not in session, could be so all-fired important that a senator needs not one, not two, but three phone lines simultaneously? A guy from Vermont, for peace sake, Vermont? I mean, come on, man. It's just unbelievable. I suppose the bottom line is that most of these guys just think that they are so important, and they just, you know, everybody's got it to, my God, you know, unreal. It's just about 30 minutes after the hour. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today, not a Nigerian, but an American, is identity theft. If it happens to you, it could take months or even longer to recover from it. That is, if you can recover at all. So don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance and sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. So to protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. The network may not cover all transactions, and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You will be very glad that you did. You will also be glad that you hung out during this brief break. Your calls are coming up, so don't go away.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
My arm, it hurts.
Buzz driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Wade, and you're listening to Conservative Nation Radio. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
Alrighty, welcome back. That, of course, the mighty Enya, the Irish girl. She's really a tremendous talent. That's called Only Time. Voiced by one of my best friends, Kevin Wade. I sure hope that Kevin will soon decide to run for the U.S. Senate again from Delaware, as he did in 2012. I know things about that campaign that very few other people know. We were not really fully funded. You need about $2 million. If you want to be kind of sure of winning, you need about, four. Christine O'Donnell had seven, and she lost, but most Republicans in Delaware understand why that is, the ones that pay attention anyway. 718-305-7176 is the number. I see Mr. Cole in the chat room there. Mr. Cole, good evening, sir. Calling in from upstate New York, or at least in the chat room from somewhere in the Empire State. Some people occasionally say to me, what is conservative? What do you mean? What do you mean by conservative? You want all the old people to die? You want all the poor people to starve to death? You want to sell all the blacks into slave? That's what you mean by conservative? You got to be kidding me. That's the left. You know, the left does everything based on their emotions and based on their absolute pathological hatred. Yes, I use the right word, hatred, for anyone who does not share their view. My dad on one occasion said to me, the real definition of a liberal is someone who will not tolerate an opposing point of view. I heard something interesting, I think on NPR the other day, one of the commentators was saying something along the lines of the left thinks that because the right disagrees with them, that somehow the right is therefore unfit for democracy. This is bizarre. This is very bizarre. But that is the way they think. A real conservative is a person who acknowledges that there are specific constitutional, legal, cultural, traditional, linguistic, and geographic ways of doing things in this country that have served the interests of the country very, very well in the 225 or almost 230 years now since its founding. And those people are right. Well, in any event, since the ratification and adoption of the U.S. Constitution as of 1789, a lot of people think that, we had the Declaration of Independence and then we had the Constitution, and that's it. Now, that's not really the way it goes. But, hey, check out some history. Read some history. You know, that's what people really ought to do. That's something that apparently is not happening in schools today. In schools today, especially in the big cities where the unions control the school system, they control the curriculum. There may be school boards, but in the big cities, in the liberal sectors of the country, those school boards normally are appointed, not elected. In rural and conservative areas of the country, they are elected. They are elected here in Delaware, but there are certain schools, certain public schools in Delaware, where the school boards that control them are not elected, but I digress. We had a school board election where I live yesterday, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't go to vote in that election primarily because I had a very, very big night on Monday. I couldn't get any sleep on Monday night. On Tuesday, I had many things to do. Had a lot of places to go, and I just did not get a chance to get over there. From what I understand, the good guys won, so I'm happy about that. But all should do their civic duty, and all should vote. I guess I just don't really understand people that don't vote. They don't pay attention to things. They don't pay much attention to what is happening in the world. They don't pay attention to what is happening in their country. They don't pay attention to what is happening in their state. They don't pay attention to what is happening in their county or the town, the village, the township, the city in which they live. Politically, they just don't pay attention to it. No, I really don't know who my senator is, but I sure know so-and-so's batting average. You know, that kind of thing. Well, I know how many touchdowns Tony Romo threw. What do you do with those? Look, at the end of the day, this is America, and if you don't pay attention to things, you are, you know, I just think if you haven't paid attention, you should not be complaining later on when your taxes go up, when new taxes appear, when police are given legal authority to do things that you don't like, you go to cut down some bushes or weeds or even a tree in the backyard that you own, and a couple of days later, some county or state enforcement officer shows up and says, this is a summons, a citation. You have to come into court. Cutting down that tree was a violation, and you may have a $3,000 fine. This kind of thing happens. And it seems to me that it always happens to people who don't pay attention. They don't know the name of their county councilman or their county commissioner. They don't know the names of the city council members of the small town or the village or the city in which they live. It's unbelievable. They don't know the names, and they don't know how to get in touch with their state representative or their state senator. I mean, it's, you know, that's who does things like they thought it was still a free country, and they didn't pay any attention to the fact that our freedoms are slowly, a little tiny bit of time, being taken away from us. Now, there are some things happening in the country that the government can't stop, and one of them is the growth of our small company, conservativenationmedia.com. And I suppose as a way to celebrate that, we decided to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. It's called American by Design. And Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and his absolute unqualified love of America to conservativenationmedia.com Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. Right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Stick with us. Listen up. We are on the air 5 days a week. We are making some big changes, and frankly, we are just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins, right on the heels of the Michael Berryman show, by the way. That starts at 4 Eastern, 3 Central. On Conservative Nation Media, so there is bang bang 4 hours of great programming from a couple of really great guys, or about the greatest guys I know, on conservativenationmedia.com. And you can always get us on the web at conservativenationmedia.com. Maybe we should set it up so it is conservativenationmedia.com/where America always wins. Maybe that, you know. Maybe we should try that. I don't know. Frankly, I don't know enough about the internet or HTML code or something. You know, I don't. Cole is saying he has lost audio somehow. He was listening, but he says now there is no audio. I think he has actually left the chat room. I'm not really sure what's up with the system tonight. You know, there was audio earlier. Maybe it's an internet-related cutout. I have no idea. I have no idea. I can tell by looking at my Behringer 1204 board that we do have audio is at least getting from the mic into the board. Anyway, We are going to take a brief break here, and when I come back, more of your calls. We'll talk a little bit more about the Mohammedan murdering, kidnapping, butchering terror group Boko Haram in Nigeria. All that is coming up, so stay right where you are.
Hey, liberals, why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811, pcsforautomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
What? Why? Just wait for the inheritance. We've definitely got a rich uncle somewhere. We're one call away from the winner's circle at the Derby, dinners with multiple forks, a vacation home in the country, using summer as a verb.
You don't actually think that, do you?
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs, the Delaware Society of CPAs, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Dave Vance, your host for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Inside Tennessee is moving to Tuesday nights beginning on May 6th. Tune in and join the conversation with some of Tennessee's most conservative and constitutionally minded activists, experts, politicians, and average citizens that are fed up and making a stand. That's Inside Tennessee, Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins.
Listening to Duke Brooks on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Alrighty, welcome back. I trust that the audio problems have been taken care of. I hope that they have. This is ConservativeNationMedia.com. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number, and that was Lorena McKinnitt and Mummer's Dance from 1997, I believe. That was the era of the Irish Chicks invasion. I'm sure that there's someone out there, even now, who is so offended that I would say chicks instead of women. Well, you know what? I guess, really, I don't care. I'm sorry, but I just don't care. You know, look, people offend me all the time, every day. And do I whine about it? No. Do I, you know, am I completely so offended that the only thing I can do is express my... No, I actually view myself as a maturing person. And as a result... you know, there are times when you just have to say, okay, look, other people in this country are actually entitled to freedom of speech, and the right to freedom of speech exists in the Constitution. The right to never be offended does not. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America. On ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. Thank you for being along. We have been talking about the kidnapping of Nigerian girls in Boko Haram. You know, my doctor is from Nigeria. She's very, very nice. obviously a very educated person. She's from Lagos, Nigeria, which is the big commercial center of the country. And I was in her office yesterday. It's one of the things that I had to do. And I asked her about this, and she just kind of shook her head and said, oh, yeah, that's Nigeria for you. And I think the subtext of that may have been something along the lines of, that's why I live here and not there. And I think I can understand that. Being kidnapped, forced to convert to the kidnapper's religion, and then being told that unless the government releases certain other people of the kidnapper's religion that were put in jail because they too conducted religious terrorism against other people, or the girls will not be released, the hostages will not be released. That's the kind of thing. We have not encountered anything like that in this country, and that would be the United States, for, oh, I don't know, you know, ever, as far as I know. I mean, if I'm wrong, you know, if you have some fact of which I'm not aware, call me at 718-305-7176, and you can let me know about that, because if you can prove that I am wrong, frankly, I will be thankful to you, because when I'm wrong about something factually, I would like to know about it. And, you know, for a long time, excuse me, before I actually read the Constitution, I thought that women were given the vote, then prohibition came into effect, and I was wrong about that. Prohibition came into effect before women got the vote. Of course, they had to do away with prohibition, primarily because it was not working, okay? And there was a lot of crime that started in the country. That also was done under the law of unintended consequences. One of the Rockefellers, I believe, maybe John D. Rockefeller's son, I think. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, call me, 718-305-7176, made a statement at some point in the late 1920s, early 1930s, that he had been very much in favor of prohibition, and then he realized that it was a complete failure, and for that reason, you know, he was no longer in favor of it, obviously. You know, I mean, it simply does not work. Look, I don't know about you, but I would like to live in a world nobody gets drunk, nobody is doing drugs, nobody gets shot, nobody gets killed, you know, nobody gets sick, nobody's ever hungry. I would like to live in that world, but the fact of the matter is that world does not exist. Once people know how to do something, they will do it. And I don't know anything about how to distill spirits. I don't know how to make scotch or moonshine or anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, there are people that do. There are books that tell you how to. I mean, you know, it's out there. People are going to drink. There is simply no way around that. People are just going to drink. And, you know, I can't do anything about that. You know, it's going to happen. You can really encourage people to use alcohol responsibly, and you can very much discourage people from using alcohol irresponsibly. That is completely, you know, that is well within the realm of actual capability. You know, no problem. Anyway, we are about 5 minutes now from the top of the hour. We have Talk Radio News Service News with Justin Duckham in D.C. coming up. He will give us a 1-minute briefing on essentially the White House news briefing today and some other things thrown in from time to time. I met Justin and I met Jeff Holtzman. CPAC, the Conservative Political Action Conference in Washington in March, and it was great. It was nice to meet Justin. Justin's a young guy. Jeff Holtzman, who used to anchor our newscasts, is now, he said he is doing communication work for a nonprofit. He wouldn't tell me which one. I would like to know where he is because he is a good guy. Even though he works for Ellen Ratner, who runs Talk Radio News Service. I think she actually owns it. And Ellen is one of the most liberal people in the country, certainly one of the most liberal in media. Most people in media are liberals, but I digress. Now, we've got about 3.5 minutes left until we have to take our hard break and join the newscast at the top of the hour. What do you think we should do, or if you were Good Luck Jonathan, the president of Nigeria, what would you do about Boko Haram? I think what I might do is I might communicate with them somehow that if the girls are not released, that the Mohammedan terrorist prisoners that the government is holding will all be shot. But they will be shot using bullets that have pig blood in them. See, that is a Mohammedan superstition, that if you die and you are in any contact, physical contact with a pig, then you are going to, you will not go to paradise and you will not be able to have sex with 72 virgins. You know, I've got to tell you, the idea that there is a religion out there that leftists in this country referred to as one of the world's great religions, that preaches that when you die, if you've been good, you will have sex with I don't get that. After you're dead, you can't reproduce. That's one of the things about being dead, or as Private Joker once said, the dead know only one thing. It is better to be alive. In any event, I think that the right way to deal with terrorists of that nature is to let them know that the people that they're trying to rescue will be killed if they do not release the girls, if they don't release their kidnap victim hostages. They might execute the hostages that way, but it will send a message that they are not going to be negotiated with, and you cannot negotiate with terrorists. You just can't do it. That gives them too much credibility, and they actually absolutely must not have any credibility. Anyway, we are going to go ahead and take a break now. We've got Talk Radio News Service coming up, more on Boko Haram and the World Trade Center Memorial controversy after the break. Stay right where you are.
Here's the news. Coming to you every hour on the hour. The weather's fine, but there may be a media shower.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For the Talk Radio News Service, I'm Justin Duckham. Senate Democrats are kicking off a campaign to garner support for student loan reform. The legislation, spearheaded by Senator Elizabeth Warren, allows holders of both public and private student loan debt to refinance at the rate of 3.86% for undergraduates, and slightly higher for graduate students. Democrats are hoping for a vote in June. A wide majority of voters believe that incumbent lawmakers do not deserve re-election, according to a Gallup poll released today. 72% said that incumbents should not be voted back into office in the 2014 midterm elections, while just 22% said that they should. The numbers represent the lowest level of enthusiasm for incumbents since polling began in 1992. Remarks from President Barack Obama in Tarrytown, New York today represents the latest push from the administration to convince Congress to boost infrastructure spending. In addition to securing new funds, the plan includes easier to attain permits for infrastructure projects and a streamlined review process. Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Is Radio Free America on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. The beginning of hour number two of the Wednesday, May 14th, 2014 edition. Duke Brooks here, 718-305-7176 is the number. Chat room is open for business. I have someone checking right now. In fact, Linda, I have been was told in the chat room earlier that we were having audio problems, but I'm getting every indication here that the audio is fine. So, you know, I really don't know what to tell you. Anyway, as I mentioned, 718-305-7176 is the number if you want to go live on the air with me, which is fine. That, of course, will be held for all posterity, because these are, in addition to being live, these programs are podcasts, so that means that you can listen to them at any time that you want to. It's a good thing. We have been talking about the kidnapping of the Nigerian girls I don't really know what to say to people who think that because we once had slavery in this country, that makes America the worst and most evil country in the entire history of the world, which is pretty absurd because they still have slavery in countries in Africa and apparently in Saudi Arabia under certain circumstances. Legally, you can still buy a slave. I mean, I read this somewhere a long time ago, but because neither one of those nations are Western industrialized democracies, neither one of those places are predominantly Christian, and neither one of those places are predominantly of Caucasian racial ethnicity. That doesn't count, because if you're a liberal in America, you see bad only in America and only in Western industrialized democracies. You cannot see evil in any other place. That's just the way those people are. It is unbelievable. 718-305-7176 is the number here at Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. I'm not really sure what the they will do about the Boko Haram kidnapping situation. I'm trying to find some additional information on it here on Drudge. I don't really see very much on it. They're not featuring very many stories on it. As a matter of fact, as far as I can tell, they are not featuring any stories. They've got a horrible picture of Hillary Clinton. I don't know if it's photoshopped or not, but she looks like a zombie, And to some people, that's kind of what she is. She is kind of a liberal zombified person thinking, only finding bad in America, Pretty unbelievable. I'm not really sure why Drudge is not caring anything about the Boko Haram. I don't get it. It just refreshed, but I still don't see anything there about it. One of the subjects that I wanted to mention tonight, and incidentally, in about 6 minutes, we're going to take a break. And then when we come out of that break, we will have some Civil War history. 150 years ago today, May 14th, 1864. At that point, of course, the Civil War had just under a year to run. The ultimate, the Confederate States never surrendered. At Appomattox Courthouse in Virginia, Robert E. Lee surrendered the Army of Northern Virginia, which was a CSA army, obviously, and it was one of the greatest armies of all time, by the way, but they still lost. The Confederacy itself never really surrendered because Jefferson Davis split Richmond in early April. He was out of April of 65. He was out of Richmond and he was running. They had him locked up for 2.5 years but they never charged him with anything because, as far as they could tell, he hadn't actually broken any laws. He had done something that was unconstitutional, but he had not broken any laws. I believe he and the Confederate States violated Article 6 of the Constitution, which I believe makes it, you know, absolutely clear that the states cannot form a confederation with each other, which they can't, but they tried to, you know, and you're not supposed to do that. But in any event, it's just one of those things in history. You know, I wonder if there will be history in the future. I can tell you definitely that what people will be reading about this period in history 100 years from now will not resemble what it is really like in any way. One of the reasons I know that is that in New York City, there is something called the World Trade Center Memorial Museum. And this is located at the site of the World Trade Center on Houston Street, in the Battery in Manhattan, the southern tip of Manhattan. And there are Mohammedans in this country who are trying to force the museum to remove all references to the religion of the 9-1-1 murdering, hijacking terrorists from the museum. And I think that that is a ridiculous idea. And, well, we can discuss that in a moment. We have been telling you for some time that conservativenationmedia.com is making some changes. And, in fact, they have already started, because Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance has already moved to Tuesday. As you're aware, Tennessee's issues are spreading out all over America. And Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and the most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Tuesday, so make sure that you don't miss it. It is brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, now Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. It's about 13 minutes after the top of the hour. 718-305-7176 is the number. And, you know, this is the National September 11th Memorial and Museum. It is called 911memorial.org. And I have not been able to find an awful lot of information on the story concerning this, and let me see if I can actually find something. They are really trying to sanitize and sterilize the fact that it was a Mohammedan attack against this country. It was not done by a bunch of Methodists. It wasn't done by a bunch of Buddhists. It was not undertaken by the Swiss Guard of the Vatican. It was not done by atheists. It was not done by members of the Assembly of God or anything of that nature. It was done by Mohammedan terrorists. Some people would say they were Islamic extremists. They were merely devout Mohammedans, because if you are a Mohammedan, apparently you are obligated to force other people into your religion. That is why that faith has been characterized by invasions, conquering, violence, just utterly and completely horrible treatment of anybody that is not a Mohammedan. So that's really what we're dealing with in this country. And the liberals, they either want to pave the way for those guys to get what they want, or they are just so dumb and so stupid that they cannot acknowledge actual facts of history. Anyway, we are going to take a quick break. More coming up. Don't go away.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years, we're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Molon LeBay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeBay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Hi, this is Michael Behrman, inviting you to join me every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on The Michael Behrman Show. Hitman! Right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
Alrighty, welcome back to Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And by now, if you are an aficionado of this radio program, a devotee of RFA on CNN, as it were, one of the cognoscenti of conservative internet talk, you know that that music means that it is time to take a look at this day in Civil War history. This is from The Civil War Day by Day by E.B. Long and Barbara Long. May 14th, 1864, 150 years ago, was a Saturday, and on that day began the battle for Resaca, Georgia. General William Tecumseh Sherman's Federals still intended to assault Johnston's lines at Resaca, Georgia, but delays and extensive deployments held down the attack. Although there was some fighting on both flanks with moderate Union success, the real struggle for Resaca would have to wait. It still was primarily a campaign of movement and probing operations. In Virginia, General U.S. Grant continued to shift his troops to the left, right following Warren, as both armies sought to recover from the pounding each had received around Spotsylvania. A hard march and heavy rain caused a federal attack to be called off. Other skirmishing was at Wilson's Landing on the Red River in Louisiana. There were prospects of renewed action in Virginia's Shenandoah Valley. Franz Sigel had moved south with some 6,500 Union men facing only cavalry opposition by Confederate John D. Imboden. But now, General Breckinridge was bringing in about 5,000 Confederate defenders, and a skirmish at Rood's Hill gave indication that things would be different. Mr. Davis wrote to General Lee from Richmond, quote, affairs here are critical, unquote, meaning Butler's operations against Drury's Bluff and Petersburg. 1864 has been referred to as the year of big battles. Union soldiers in General Franz Sigel's army, many of them, were of German and Austrian and Central European origin, and apparently their claim was, I fight mit Sigel. I don't know very much about General Sigel, but I do know this. We are about 21 minutes into hour number two of this edition of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Duke Brooks is my name. The number is 718-305-7176. The chat room is open for business, and we have been talking a little bit about the Boko Haram Mohammedan terror group in Nigeria, kidnapping innocent Christian Nigerian schoolgirls, forcing them to convert to the religion of peace, selling them as slaves, apparently somewhere in the Arab world, and for 12 bucks each, I guess. 12 bucks, I guess that's a lot of money over there. And at the same time, demanding that their compatriots, who are other Mohammedan terrorists, be freed from Nigerian prisons. Those are the things that I do know. We have also talked a little bit about the fact that there are Mohammedan political groups in the United States that want any reference to the fact that the 911 hijackers were all Mohammedans to be removed from the World Trade Center and 911 Memorial Museum in New York City. I suppose the question is, and if you want to mix it up, that's fine. The number is 718-305-7176. If you want to kind of mix that up a little bit with me, I suppose that German Americans or people in Germany would then have a, quote, right, unquote, to demand that any reference to the National Socialist German Workers' Party be removed from textbooks about World War II, and those, of course, those people, those members of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, or Nationalistisch Sozialistisch Deutscher Arbeiterpartei, which was shortened to Nazi, be removed. Or maybe the Germans of today would demand that any reference to Germans be removed and in place simply Nazi. And if they, you know, if the Mohammedans can do that to the World Trade Center Memorial Museum in New York, I don't know why the Germans could not do that, why the Japanese could not demand that history be rewritten according to the way they want it to. Of course, the demands being made by the Council on American-Islamic Relations and the other ones, the other Mohammedan groups, is always the same, and it's something that, generally speaking, the left in this country agrees with, and that is that it is unfair. Okay. Yeah. I guess, you know, it's unfair or something. I have no idea what on earth is, quote, unfair, unquote, about simply speaking a fact I'm not even talking about the truth, because the truth and the facts are different things. They are not one in the same. And for some reason, when facts get in the way of an agenda, a left-wing agenda, the left goes absolutely crazy. The left controls the media in this country. That is what makes sure that their left-wing and politically correct agenda is normally pursued, and that people can almost always get their left-wing views into a configuration of questionable legitimacy. This is something from The New Yorker, a magazine that I have always found to be very, very entertaining. Certainly the cartoons in The New Yorker are incredible. And they have the, you know, that is one of the things that The New Yorker has been known for since it was founded in the 1840s. I think I remember reading somewhere that the first issue of The New Yorker was published on the same day that the first known professional baseball game in American history was played. It's kind of like the Soviets launched the Sputnik on the exact same day that Leave It to Beaver premiered on American television. I don't know. And this is about Jill Abramson, the editor of the New York Times, posted by Ken Auletta. And it was updated about an hour and a half ago at the annual City University Journalism School dinner on this past Monday. Dean Baquet, the managing editor of the New York Times, was seated with Arthur Sulzberger Jr., the paper's publisher. At the time, I did not give a moment's thought to why Jill Abramson, the paper's executive editor, was not at their table. This is Ken Auletta writing. Then at 2:36 p.m. today, Wednesday, an announcement from the Times hit my email saying that Baquet would replace Abramson less than 3 years after she was appointed the first woman in the top job. Baquet will be the first African-American to lead the Times. Fellow journalists and others scrambled to find out what had happened. Sulzberger had fired Abramson, and he did not try to hide that. In a speech to the newsroom on Wednesday afternoon, he said, quote, "I chose to appoint a new leader of our newsroom because I believe that new leadership will improve some aspects," unquote. Abramson chose not to attend the announcement and not to pretend that she had volunteered to step down. As with any such upheaval, there's a history behind it. Several weeks ago, Auletta is told, Abramson discovered that her pay and her pension benefits as both executive editor and before that as managing editor were considerably less than the pay and pension benefits of Bill Keller, the male editor whom she replaced in both jobs. Quote, "She confronted the top brass," unquote, one close associate said, and this may have fed into the management's narrative that she was, quote, pushy, unquote, a characterization that for many has an inescapably gendered aspect. Sulzberger is known to believe that the Times, as a financially beleaguered newspaper, needed to retreat on some of its general pay and pension benefits. Abramson had also been at the Times for far fewer years than Keller, having spent much of her career at the Wall Street Journal, accounting for some of the pension disparity. Eileen Murphy, a spokeswoman for the Times, said that Jill Abramson's total compensation as executive editor, quote, was directly comparable to Bill Keller's, unquote, though it was not actually the same. Auletta was also told by another friend of Abramson's that the pay gap with Keller was only closed after she complained, but to women at an institution that was once sued by its female employees for discriminatory practices, the question brings up ugly memories. Whether Abramson was right or wrong, both sides were left unhappy. A third associate told me, meaning the writer, Ken Auletta, quote, she found out that a former deputy managing editor, unquote, a man, quote, made more money than she did while she was managing editor. Quote, she had a lawyer make polite inquiries about the pay and pension disparities, which set them off. Okay. We're going to, actually, we're going to take a break, but I believe I have a caller here, and you are live on Radio Free America. Who's this?
Hi, I was just monitoring the show. I just came in, so I'm just trying to get up to speed.
Oh, okay. Who is this?
This is Mike.
Okay, Mike. If you want to stand by, we're going to take a brief break now.
Okay.
I see you're calling from somewhere in Westchester County, or at least you've got a phone number that's keyed to there. So
all
if
right.
you can stand by, I will put you on hold, and we'll get right back to you after the break.
All right, great.
Thank you, Mike. All righty, we are going to take a brief break now, as I mentioned. And let's see here. I'm sorry, I'm a little tiny bit discombobulated here. I'm going to assume for the sake of argument that if you are listening to me right now on conservativenationmedia.com, that you are a conservative. That means that you love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government in D.C. drops the ball, or worse, and leaves our country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Now, since that is the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, the aforementioned conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds. Starting right now, just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. More coming up, more of your calls, and Mike will be joining us from New York State right after this, so don't go away.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group. That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, tail-wagging, backyard-hanging, and, of course, companionship. And what breed would you say Satchmo is? I'd have to go with maybe a lavish terrier-hound-chihuahua-looking kind of mix. Tremendous dog. I'd also like to point out Satchmo's coloring, a white, gray, brown, black brindle. Simply marvelous. You know, it's such a treat to watch a dog like this. Now, let's see him in action. Look how he makes eye contact with his person. That's actually known as the treat stare. How intuitive. And now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles. Ah, the happy dance, so common with this group. And finally, the loving face lick. It's great how he just gets in there and, well, licks. Fantastic. But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one. Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Kate Pearson from the B-52s for RAD. Getting drunk is your own business, but when you drive drunk, you make it everybody's business. Don't drink and drive. Be responsible, plan ahead, and choose a designated driver. Remember, music lives, and so should you.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it. You're listening to Duke Brooks on conservativenationradio.org.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com. I am Duke Brooks. The phone number to call in and join this, this torrent of conservatism is 718-305-7176. And a few moments ago, we heard the greatest guitar riff that has ever been played in the entire history of rock and roll. And it was played by Eric Clapton on the George Harrison song While My Guitar Gently Weeps on the White Album. And frankly, I really don't care who knows that that's what I think. Mike is on the line. Mike, calling from New York State. Welcome aboard. How you doing tonight? Okay, well, Mike just dropped off. I'm not really sure what happened. Maybe his phone died on us or something. I just don't know. In any event, the number is 718-305-7176. Jill Abramson, not exactly a household word, household name, apparently fired a couple of days ago as the managing editor of the New York Times. That is a real serious job in journalism. The New York Times is a newspaper that has a reputation that is significantly more less deserved than it actually has. I think Mike is back with us now. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry about that. This phone system, I bought it used at a yard sale and it had an Obama sticker on it. And I should have never bought it. I think the sticker had something to do with it. It's very erratic. Sometimes it, anyways.
Absolutely.
Gentlemen, I'm also a conservative. I don't know if you're by yourself on the show, but, pardon me?
Yeah, it's just you and me, pal. It's just you and me right now.
All right. Well, that was my first time calling in. I've been snooping around on Blog Talk Radio, looking at some of the different radio shows that are out there. And I've been on a couple of them. It's more or less exploring this whole Blog Talk Radio thing is fairly new to me. But I am, as I said, I am a conservative. And, very, very pro-United States and constitutional. And are you in New York also?
No, I'm in Delaware, although I am a native of Manhattan. I was born and raised in New York City. And I went to college at Syracuse, so I'm, my connection with the Empire State is a long one. And my question to you is, why don't you have your own show on Blog Talk Radio? And if you don't have one, maybe you and I should talk about you having one on our network, because it sounds to me like you would probably be very good and would have a great time at it.
Well, I don't know what's involved with it, but also time is I never know if I'm going to have scheduled time because of what we do.
My job,
I'm a government contractor.
Okay.
So we've got a different outlook than what most have, and the outlook's based on what I see and what we deal with in this government. So sometimes it's like having a leash attached. You never know if they're going to jerk it, and I end up, supporting soldiers, and I feed military. So you have to be ready. Yeah, it's you don't end up having much of a life. And when you do have spare time, I'll tell you what, you jump at the chance. So it's been a pleasure, whether if it's Kel Fritzy, you know Kel, and I'm sure she seems to be on several of the different shows and some of the other talk shows. Whenever I have a chance, I go out there and take a look at what other shows are around. But it would be interesting. I agree with you. I'd love to do it. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of interesting people out there. There's more than enough to talk about, unfortunately.
Oh, there certainly is. Now, let me ask you this. Everyone that knows me knows that I never served our country in the service, and I should have. I look back now from the age of, I'll be 59 in a couple of months, and I am very disappointed and ashamed of the fact that I did not serve our country. However, your company has a contract, I'm presuming?
Yeah, we end up working for them, feeding military in different parts of the state, and it's been since 9/11. Obviously, we didn't go into this thinking, okay, look, we're gonna become KBR, we're gonna become government con. No, it was nothing like that. But we ended up more or less, I almost want to say drafted into the job. It was when 9/11 happened, and we were asked if we were willing to feed soldiers for 2 to 3 weeks. And we stepped up, and the 2 to 3 weeks, we had no idea it would turn into 13 years. In many ways, I regret it because of the government. But the most important thing is, it's been an honor taking care of these men and women. You have no idea. Well, you probably do. You have an idea. I'm telling you, it's they make it worthwhile. Dealing with the fraud,
absolutely,
the fraud, the incompetence, what's going on out there? It's unbelievable. It's too much.
Does your company provide service at Fort Drum or Griffiths?
Yeah,
or?
All over, various, wherever they need it. I mean, I don't care, even if it's in the field, we end up in the field and for missions, training missions. But it depends. Obviously, if a unit has Army cooks, then the cooks are going to cook for themselves. That's it. The cooks are there. But there are companies, small companies like ours, that provide a service where it's not feasible to activate a mess section. It's cheaper to just hire a private contractor and say, here, feed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner for one day, feed them for 10 days, feed them for a month, whatever. It turns out it's cheaper to do that. And there are different scenarios.
Let me ask you this. It seems to be widely known in the military that the best quality food that the military offers is on board United States Naval Combat Submarines, but the Army kind of has a reputation, at least for the food that they eat in the field, that it is not particularly good.
No,
what's the
not
quality?
At all.
Okay, what is the quality of what your firm provides? What's it like?
That's caused me a lot of problems, because they've come back at me from day. Don't mind me for guarding what I'm saying. Trust me, there are reasons for it. But they've come back at me and they've said that what we do is illegal. They said you're exceeding the minimum requirements. That makes it unfair for other companies to compete with me. They want me doing the exact 21-day Army menu. At first, it was the 14-day Army menu. But now they want the 21-day Army menu, which they upgraded. They didn't upgrade it. I mean, they might have. What did they do? They added a gyro sandwich on it, and all of a sudden that's upgraded? It still has margarine patties on it. It still has 3-ounce pork chops. But they're saying that by exceeding the minimum requirement, you make it harder for other companies to compete with you. And the government has a thing where they say they want to distribute the wealth as far as contracts out in the private sector. So they don't want one contractor getting all the work. All right, I can see that. But if you find a contractor that is legitimate, that keeps the prices down. And it's not like where you're dealing overseas, where you have Halliburton feeding people in the field, and they've got a truck in, they've got to fly in the food, the supplies, and everything else. Now, all of a sudden, the price is going to go up a lot more than what they pay here in the United States to the contractors. There's a threshold. There's a ceiling, a cap on what they pay us. But, I mean, over here, we get like $4.50, $4.75 per person for breakfast. An Egg McMuffin is almost $3. I'm serving Tropicana orange juice. You want five glasses? You have five glasses of orange juice. You got cereal. You want 2-3 bowls of cereal? You have 2-3 bowls of cereal. There's fruit. There's coffee. There's milk. There's you can have a breakfast sandwich you want. You want an omelet. You want – you're not going to get that in the outside world for that money.
No.
But the minute people hear that you're a government contractor, they go, ooh, you must be rich. No. When you're talking 500, 800 soldiers, now it starts adding up. But the system is flawed where instead of taking care of vendors that do a good job, and the government has something called past performance and best value in contracting that's supposed to apply. Well, I asked them about that, and they said, no, that only applies to contracts over, I forget what they said, $200,000, and for IT contracts, computer and, well, are you kidding me? You put a plate of food in front of a soldier. If it sucks, you think you're not going to hear about it?
I would imagine, yeah.
The most glowing and memorable thank you can put in front of that soldier after a hard day is that meal. So you're going to feed him a plate of slop by some vendor that doesn't give a shit from Ahmed's Catering in Manhattan? And you think that's going to fly?
No.
And then you get the government saying, this is fair. This is even and balanced and bullshit. Bullshit.
Yeah,
so I fight them.
Okay, Mike, do me a favor and let's keep the four-letter words to a zero quotient on our air, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Even though we are not regulated by the FCC, I spent my entire career in broadcast radio, and I just, but in any event, I would imagine, what on earth is a better thing to have than a good meal. I mean, frankly, it beats the daylights out of everything. And our people in uniform deserve it. And I guess do you prepare three meals a day?
It depends. Sometimes we might end up doing only a breakfast and a dinner. Sometimes we're breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It depends on what the requirements are and what the training calls for.
Everything is
different.
Does not put out MREs. You don't put out the...
No, but what they've been doing lately, they've been doing this since 2009, and is they've been using MREs, a lot of MREs, for the lunches. And I tried to point out to them, you're paying us between $7 and $8 per person for the lunch. For a hot lunch, a full lunch, which includes a salad, drinks, dessert, everything, your MRE is costing hovering around $9 per MRE unit. Are you going to tell me you're going to compare a hot lunch with a salad and everything to a bagged MRE, and which is costing the taxpayer more money? But see, the reason that they do it is in the government, in the Army, the same as the regular government, there are different pockets for different funds. The MREs don't come out of sustenance money. They come out of supplies, shelf, off-the-shelf items. So they're not considered food. So they can justify using millions of dollars worth of MREs because that doesn't affect their sustenance money that they use for the contracts. It's a game.
It's so weird. Now, the lunches, do you have things like hot roast beef sandwich, cheesesteak,
sometimes we'll do rotisserie chicken, sometimes, with mashed potatoes, gravies. Sometimes we'll do hot sandwiches, sometimes pastas, and then dinner will be a full dinner. Sometimes I'll do Argentinian beef. We've done, what it is to do London broil for 500 people, fresh, right off the grill, carving it right there in front of them as they're coming off the line. So, we try to approach it a different way. And we've been penalized for it. I'll tell you, we have seriously been penalized for it. So it doesn't matter. I'll continue to do what I'm doing to take care of my soldiers.
Okay.
And
I hope that you do, and I wish that there were more people like you, and I wish that the U.S. government would understand that fair means everybody plays by the same rules. It doesn't mean that every game ends in a tie. Anyway, I've got to run along, but I'd love to hear from you again.
Thank you for having me on. It was great talking with you. And just mute me out so I can listen to the rest of the show.
Well, I would appreciate that, Fang, and that is exactly what I do. Thank you so much for calling, Mike. We've got just under 10 minutes to go in this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And now, live, direct to you from southwestern Delaware, it's Matthew Opalisky, everybody, the host of the Liberty and Constitution Community, heard Thursday nights right here on conservativenationmedia.com. Matthew, how you doing, buddy?
Good evening, Mr. Duke Books. How are you?
I'm glad that after Monday night's meeting, you and I are still both alive. You know, I figured by now the side of my car would have been keyed, my tires would have been slashed, my house would have been burned. You know, I hope that the individual in question, I don't want to name any names, does not know exactly where your house is.
Well, he probably does, and it's not a big deal. I mean, it is what it is. He may have been upset, but it's not something that's worth getting that upset over. It wouldn't me. I don't know, man. He stormed out in a hussy, but you know, it is what it is. It's only politics. You know what I mean? You can't. This is what I always say, Duke. Is you got to divorce your emotion. You got to divorce your emotion from it.
Absolutely. Yes, you do. Yes, you absolutely do, because you will notice, I had a discussion about this with a friend of mine in D.C. the other day, who is a really nice guy, but he does not know anything. The things that he thinks he knows are wrong about, you know, the political landscape and current events in his country and the history and things. And all he does is yell and scream and shout. And I kept saying to him, Jim, no professional in politics ever raises their voice or loses their temper. And if you do that, you will be marked instantly as someone who is not a professional. But anyway, I digress.
In his defense, I gotta tell you, last week when I was on the air, I might have lost my temper a little bit when I started talking about some of the gun issues, because there have been too many of them, and it does get under my skin. So in your defense,
this
I may
radio.
Have screamed a little
this is
bit.
Different.
With that?
That's okay. That's all right. This is radio. This is different.
Yeah.
This, what we're doing is not professional party politics at the county and state level, which is what some of the things that you and I do in real life. But what are we going to be talking about tomorrow night on Liberty and Constitution Community?
Some liberty and some constitutional issues. One thing I'm going to do, there's an event coming up this weekend here locally, not far from me, so I'm probably going to talk about that. It's going to feature a lot of stuff having to do with the Constitution, having to do with sheriffs. We got Sheriff Richard Mack coming in to speak. Stuart Rhodes from the Oath Keepers is going to be at the event. Chris Ann Hall, who's a former state prosecutor from Florida who now travels the country talking about the Constitution, is coming. Michael Peruca, who's a constitutional attorney. Our own Sheriff Jeff Christopher here locally. So that's an event that I'm emceeing the event on Saturday. So I'll talk about that a little bit. But there's two specific cases that are probably going to go into depth about. One of them is in Colorado. One of them has to do with D.C. One of them is the Palmer versus D.C. case, which is a lawsuit. It's been going on for 5 years. I mean, the briefs were filed in 2009. Oral arguments were heard, and there were several residents. This is on the heels of the Heller case, where the ban for firearms in D.C. was overturned.
In D.C.,
and then
the same
attorney that represented Mr. Heller now represents Mr. Palmer, and Mr. Palmer is suing for his right to carry. And it was heard in 2009. the judge that heard the case retired before he issued a ruling. The case was handed to another judge, and the judge heard he reheard the arguments in 2011, and he has yet to issue a ruling. So the attorneys that are representing Mr. Palmer have submitted additional paperwork again, to try to get a ruling. So they've been waiting 5 years for this ruling. So I'm going to talk about that case. And then there's another case that's going on, and it's not a court case just yet, but there's a woman, get this, dude, this is crazy. There's a woman out in Colorado. Okay. She has a carry permit. She's a maid. She owns her own business. She does home cleans. She cleans homes. She carries her firearm just for defense. She had a car accident. In the car accident, she was injured. She was taken to the hospital by ambulance. The hospital turned over her firearm because she was incapacitated. They turned over the firearm that she was wearing to the police in Colorado. She's now been out of the hospital for months. She cannot get her firearm back. They won't give it back to her. The police won't, because there's a Colorado statute that says the firearm has to be transferred through an FFL, and the police are saying because they don't have an FFL on their staff, they can't do it. It's crazy. It's criminally insane.
What is an SSO?
Oh, FFL, Federal Firearms License. You know, basically what they could do, The police could go to any local dealer to give her back. Basically what they're saying is she has to go through a background check to get her own gun that she already owned back. She has a valid carry permit, and they won't just give her back her gun.
Has she sued?
Well, it's not a legal case just yet. It's basically like the media is just now getting wind of it, going, what is going on with you, crap? I mean, seriously, the woman has a permit, had the gun legally, was in an accident. The hospital turns the gun over to the cops because, well, what are they going to do? They're going to leave it in her, by her bedside. She's not there. Oh, they give the gun to the police. She's now out of the hospital, can't get the gun back. Crazy.
Well, if I were her, I think I would sue the hospital, and I would sue the police.
Yeah, and again, I mean, wouldn't it be
to
easier
compel
to
them
give
to
it back to her?
That certainly would, but it's obvious that they're not going to give the firearm back to her.
Well, what it is, the police are going on the recommendation of their attorney, and they're holding on to it. The whole thing is just beyond stupid. If I was to quote Spaceballs, they've gone past ridiculous to plaid.
Yeah, there you go. It is, we do live in a very, very bizarre world, my friend, as you're aware.
Yep.
And
then there's a lot of local politics that I can talk about too, because our General Assembly's in session, and they've been wheeling and dealing this week like crazy. So there's a lot of stuff that I'll probably talk about that has to do with our own General Assembly, and that may interest other folks, and some folks may not be interested in it. But
sure.
That's why I try to mix a little bit of local and a little bit of national.
Well, as they say, and as Thomas Jefferson I think once said, no society is safe when the legislature is in session.
This is true. I love to follow our legislature. I follow it as if it was a sport. Most people could tell you. Most people could tell you what running back ran this, and what quarterback has that many passing yards. I can't tell you any of that, but I can tell you what bill is where and whose committee and who introduced it and so on. And I love January to June because they're in session to give you something to do, but I hate it when they're in session because they're constantly screwing us over. So it's a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, I got you. All right, buddy, I've got to run. We're just about at the hour now, but I look forward to hearing from you tomorrow night.
All right, dude, you have a good one.
You too, pal. See you soon. Always a pleasure. All right, folks, that will just about do it for this episode of Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, where America, in fact, always wins. Duke Brooks here. I hope that you have a wonderful week now that something like summer is upon us. And I look forward to speaking with you again next Wednesday night. In the meantime, have a good one. See you soon.